Psalm 31, for the director of music, a psalm of David. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy. And when I called to you for help, love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you to set aside this time from wherever we come, from whatever struggles we face, to hear your word and to know that you are there. Lord, we pray that you would bless this time, that your words would be spoken, that I would be set aside, and that you would be glorified through all that is said here. I pray this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the first half of the 17th century, the 30-year war took place across Central Europe. In actuality, it was a series of wars, not one single war, but proved to be one of the longest and most destructive wartimes in European history. During this time, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night, as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. Soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. Give to the winds thy fear, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time. So shall the night soon end in joyous day. It was in this song of the night that Gerhardt found and expressed the hope he had in God. A hope that was found from facing his darkest hour. A hope in the darkness. This is a theme found in many of the Psalms as we read through the book. That God is our hope, and it is in him that we must place our trust. And so we come to Psalm 31. And starting with verses 1 through 6, we read, In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. Now, as was stated in the preamble of this chapter, the first part where it says, For the director of music, a psalm of David. This was actually part that was written, found in the scriptures, although in several of your Bibles, it's not marked as a verse, but it actually is part of the scripture. So as it says there, this was written by David. Now, David was no stranger to the fear that came from everything going wrong. In the years before he was king, he found himself fleeing his home in fear for his life as Saul hunted him down. Later in life, he found himself fleeing once again, but this time from his own son. While this passage does not specifically identify when it is being written, it's most likely written while David was fleeing Saul in the younger part of his life. So we have David, the anointed next king of Israel, in a situation where his whole future is being ripped away from him. His very life hangs in the balance. Now, while most of us may not find ourselves literally fleeing for our lives, with everything going wrong, we may each find ourselves weighed down in times of fear, stress, and anxiety. Times when we seem to see no way out. It is at these times that we need to turn to God as our only hope. And like David, we cannot trust in our own strength. David says, In you, Lord, I take refuge. It is not in his own strength, but God's righteousness upon which he depends. It's not that David is innocent and therefore should be protected, because David is like all of us and has sinned and is separated from God. The sin gets in the way. Rather, it is because he is redeemed, forgiven by God, that David knows there is hope. Now, lest you think that this hope cannot speak to your situation, let's look at others who've turned to these very words. These words that speak to many of us in our time of despair, as they have for generations before. What we call the Book of Psalms was basically a hymn book, a song book for ancient Israel. It was something they learned all their life, so it's not surprising that this psalm is in fact quoted elsewhere in Scripture during times of extreme stress. Jonah, a prophet of God, who resisted God's call and rather ran from him, found himself not only separated from God, but thrown into the ocean and swallowed by a great fish. And it is in Jonah chapter 2, from within the great fish, that Jonah cries out to God and quotes from verse 6, "I hate those who cling to worthless idols." Now Jonah wasn't alone. In Psalm 71, David himself, now older, looks back and seems to repeat this earlier cry when he says, "You, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. By my rock of refuge, to which I can always go, give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." And if this isn't enough, Jesus himself, as he hung upon the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of the world, calls out to God in his despair, quoting from this psalm, with his dying breath as he declares, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In each of these situations, they found themselves in the darkest hour of their lives. Now we know that they find comfort is found in the Word of God for the struggles we face. But while we find comfort to know that others have faced similar fears, stress, and struggles, this comfort means little without hope. But praise God, David does not leave us with his cry for help, but goes on to declare, "I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but you have set my feet on a spacious place." You see, no matter the despair of the situation in which we feel trapped, it is God in whom we can find hope of being released. God knows what we face. He knows our struggles. And he will not turn us over to be held by our enemies. Rather, he will bring us to the wide open spaces of freedom. David then goes on for the remainder of this psalm. To repeat his call to God for help and declare the assuredness of response. So basically, he's called for help, and he said God responds. And again, he's going to call for help and show that God responds. Beginning with verse 9 and going through verse 18, we read, "Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak because of all my enemies. I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering, tear on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. Let the wicked be put to shame and silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. So why does David feel it necessary to go over this, and this time in so much more depth and detail? Well, oftentimes, when we find ourselves in those darkest moments of life, our darkest hours, we can hear the words, but they don't mean anything. And I think David here is driving home his point to get it through to us that God is there. There are those times when you are alone, when everything seems to be going wrong, where it in fact seems that everyone has set their sights against you. It is to this that David once again stresses his point, that it is to God alone that we must cry out, and in whom we must place our hope. David calls for God to reach out with his unfailing love and to ensure that his hope is not in vain. David concludes by remembering that it is God who is always there when he writes, "How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from the human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonder of his love when I was in the city under siege. In my alarm, I said, 'I am cut off from your sight.' Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." You see, even when we feel we are alone, even when we feel that everything is against us, God is there. He has prepared all that we need. He provides a place of shelter and a place of safety. God will hear our cry for help. For this reason, we are told to love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord. You see, it is often in our darkest time that God makes his presence known clearly. He uses our suffering and troubles to show us that he is our only source of strength. And when we see this truth, as Pastor Gerhardt did, we receive new hope. Now you may be thinking, "You don't know my situation. You don't know how bad it is for me." And you're right, I don't. I'm not in your situation. But there is someone who does. You may have lost a job and don't know how the bills will be paid. Perhaps you've been sick for a long time and you can see no end in sight. Perhaps you've lost a loved one and do not see how you can go on. I'm here to tell you there is hope. A hope that comes not from me or from within you, but from God, who knows what you are facing and cares. He cares so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, and it is through Jesus that we are welcome to freely come before God. I ask you, are you facing a great trial? Know that you are not alone. Take heart and put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his timing. For those who know Jesus, cling to that hope. And for those of you who do not know him, know that there is hope that can be found in him alone. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you that you are our hope in the darkness. that it is to you that we can turn, that you understand whatever we face, and that you care and reach out to us. We thank you for this comfort. May we turn to you each day for that hope. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.